Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Erin.
Okay, so one of the articles we've got here, it's on Newswatch, so we've got two, is about intelligent computers.
Ooh.
Now, if you're like me, you fear all computers, intelligent or not. How do you feel about them?
I'm not fearful of computers. I'm a lot more interested than most people in AI. So okay. Anytime an AI story comes up, I'm always interested
to hear.
I'm
worried about it. Maybe it's the movies, maybe it's just because I'm not very good at technology, but, you know, I'm concerned that computers are going to kind of rule us. But then again, that maybe isn't the worst thing in the world.
No, at this point.
Putting computers in charge.
Right.
I think we could do worse. Okay, so let's find out what this computer is doing and also look at our other Newswatch story by reading through today's articles. IBM's Watson is an AI supercomputer known for playing chess and Jeopardy, a US quiz show. Recently, though, it saved a woman's life by successfully diagnosing a rare form of leukemia. The computer did so by comparing the patient's information with 20 million cancer research papers. It took Watson only 10 minutes to make the diagnosis, which had baffled doctors at the University of Tokyo for months. Scientists have been saying that Watson is the future of medicine. The computer started studying medicine in 2011, when scientists fed it reams of medical cases. In addition to diagnosing diseases, Watson can prescribe perfect dosages of medicine to patients based on their genes, although some people worry that this might lead to privacy issues. Watson has a number of other applications as well. For example, the computer can advise math teachers on creating lesson plans. It can also create unique food recipes based on data about the way humans perceive different ingredients. In time, Watson may be able to do more than we could ever imagine.
The truth about coffee cups. After drinking a cup of coffee on their way to work, most people throw their takeout coffee cups into a recycling bin without a second thought. They think the cups are easily recyclable. However, that's not actually the whole truth. The UK alone throws away around 2.5 billion paper coffee cups a year. There are similar numbers in other coffee-loving countries, such as the US and Italy. Surprisingly, most of these coffee cups don't end up being recycled. The reason for this is that in order to make the cups waterproof, the paper is fused with polyethylene, which cannot be separated out again at average recycling plants. Right now, there are only two plants in the UK that can properly cope with coffee cups, one of which is not actually operating. Unfortunately, most companies that use these coffee cups know that they aren't recyclable, but still advertise them as green to customers. One thing customers could do is boycott companies that use these cups. This has already started to happen, and has even caused Starbucks to begin experimenting with truly recyclable coffee cups.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. So, we're talking about our first news story here. IBM supercomputer is now diagnosing diseases, which is pretty impressive. To understand what that means, we should certainly look at the word diagnose, but we've also got to quickly mention a supercomputer,
right,
which isn't just like a normal computer you can buy at the store. Oh, no. It's a supercomputer. So it's like Superman is to ordinary men. This computer is to ordinary computers.
Right. Basically, what it means is that this computer can take in so much more information than a normal computer that it processes it all within minutes.
Yeah, its abilities, its ability to handle data, its processors, are much better and faster than the things we normally buy. And a supercomputer is the size of a room.
It is. It's huge.
You walk into it rather than put it on your
yes.
desk.
Yeah. Now, it's diagnosing diseases. So when you diagnose something, more so when a doctor diagnoses something, mm-hmm. they look at all your symptoms and eventually tell you what's wrong with you, why you're sick, what disease you might have.
Yeah, so it looks at the evidence and goes, yeah. okay, if you've got that, you probably have this, and here's some extra proof.
Right. Now, it says IBM's Watson is an AI supercomputer known for playing chess and Jeopardy, a U.S. quiz show. And Jeopardy, actually, is one of my favorite shows.
It's a trivia show,
right? It's like a pub quiz, but on TV.
Yeah, so people are asked questions and they have to give... But is this yeah. the one where they have to give answers in the form
yes.
of a question?
What is...
A supercomputer, for example.
Right.
Yeah.
And a quick fact for all you listeners out there, mm-hmm. Jeopardy has a Canadian host.
Oh, okay.
Which is a nice Canadian claim to fame for us.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a quiz show, so it's a show where people answer questions and mm-hmm. they get prizes, and this computer can play it.
Right.
And it probably wins, to be honest, if
actually,
it's got that much memory and
Jeopardy
power.
Is not a very easy game to win.
Even
so.
For a computer?
Well, a computer might be able to do it better than
okay.
we could.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, it does more than that. Recently, though, it saved a woman's life by successfully diagnosing a rare form of leukemia. So we've seen diagnosing, so it found out what was wrong with the woman and found that she had leukemia. Leukemia is a cancer. It's a type of cancer that affects the insides of bones and your blood-making organs.
Right.
And therefore stops normal blood cells from forming.
Right.
Now, there are many kinds of cancer, and this is a rare kind of leukemia. So the doctors didn't find it because it didn't show the normal symptoms.
Right.
So all their tests, they were like, well, we think it's this, but we can't be sure. We're not really sure what's wrong with you. The computer, however, it figured it out.
All right. Well, it did this by comparing this patient's information, so this woman, with 20 million cancer research papers. So
wow.
what they did, these people who work with the computer, is that they made the computer read all of these papers. Can mm-hmm. you imagine reading 20 million cancer research papers?
Not easily, no.
No. Well, the computer can do this because it's a supercomputer.
Yep.
And so it compared this woman's information with all of them.
Yeah, it's almost like the face search thing. When you're right. trying to identify things, you just look for all of these cues. I mean, we're saying that people could do this, but there'd need to be a lot of people
working
for years.
Yes. Yeah.
The computer, it says, only took 10 minutes to make the diagnosis, which had baffled doctors at the University of Tokyo for months. If you baffle someone, you confuse them. You kind of make things too difficult, so they just
right.
can't understand it.
Yes.
And the reason was probably because this disease, this leukemia, was not showing the normal symptoms
right.
that they would think a leukemia patient should have.
Well, especially when a disease is rare, they don't see it very often, and so...
They don't know what they're looking
yeah,
at.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of doctors see normal things every day, but
yes.
when something rare shows up, they don't automatically think of that.
Hmm.
And so that's why maybe they were so confused by this. They,
yeah.
they just weren't used to seeing something like this. But 10 minutes.
10 minutes is pretty quick. So this computer is basically now Dr. Watson.
Okay,
fans of Sherlock Holmes out there, you've now got a real-life Dr. Watson, and it's a computer.
All right, well, scientists have been saying that Watson is the future of medicine. Now, that's an interesting statement, because it's interesting to think that maybe we'll have robots or computers
yeah.
as doctors in
well,
the future.
Well, I have to say, I mean, if I was feeling strange once, I had a pain, a tingling feeling mm-hmm. in my left arm, and I actually Googled the symptoms, and it said, oh, you've got this, stop putting your elbow on the desk.
Okay.
And so, you know, we're starting to get there.
Right.
It wasn't exactly scientific.
Now, if you'd kept researching, you might have also seen that it was diagnosing you with a heart attack. So
what?
Let's say we're not ready quite yet for computers to be our doctors.
Yeah. Side note, I didn't have a heart attack. It was a nerve thing, and it's gone away. So this computer started studying medicine in 2011 when scientists fed it reams of medical cases. So it didn't go to university to study medicine. Scientists fed it, which kind of means they programmed it in there, they loaded these files, or they said, put the computer, process this.
Yes.
Reams of medical cases. Now, we use the word ream to describe, like, really long, huge, continuous sheets of paper.
Right.
If you imagine kind of newspapers being printed at a factory, that is reams of newspaper.
Right.
So piles and piles of the stuff.
Right. It's kind of one of those container words.
Yes.
When you say a bottle of juice or a
slice
box
of pizza.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a ream of paper. It just means a lot of paper.
Yes.
Now, in addition to diagnosing diseases, Watson can prescribe perfect dosages of medicine to patients based on their genes.
That's interesting.
It is. So it means that Watson knows what your genes are, which is...
kind of checks out your DNA.
Yeah, it checks out your DNA, what makes you you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can say, okay, well, this is what your body is, and this is what your body has, so here's the exact amount of medicine that you should take. So the computer is prescribing or telling you which medicine to take or how to fix a problem that you have.
And how much medicine.
Yes.
Some medicines only a doctor can prescribe. And this is the difference between you going to a store and buying medicine or the doctor saying, here's a piece of paper, take this to a drugstore or somewhere in the hospital, and they will give you the drugs. So when we talk about prescribing or prescription drugs, we mean the stronger drugs that you can't just go and buy by yourself.
Right.
So the computer can do this as well. It can say, here, you need this medicine, you need this much of it, and you can go, which is why we say perfect dosages, the exact right amount. A dosage is the amount of medicine you take. And it just says, here you go, this is exactly what you need. Now, people are worried that this might lead to privacy or privacy issues.
Privacy, that's how I say it.
Yeah, you can pronounce it both ways. It's perfectly okay. But it basically means that people will have their private information known in public because the computer will need to know their DNA and their genes and the information about what kind of drugs they're on and their genetic information is out there on a computer.
Right.
So it's not so private anymore, which
is
why it's concerning. Like a doctor, you know, the doctor can kind of keep his mouth shut, and that's what doctors should do. It's part of their kind of oath, their rules, that they don't talk about it. But a computer, you can kind of get into that in a different way, find out everything.
It's true. Now, these aren't the only applications that Watson has.
True.
So he doesn't just play chess or
Jeopardy
or diagnose diseases or prescribe medications. He is a supercomputer.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are other uses or applications that Watson has. An application is a particular use, how it's used.
Yeah. For example, the computer can advise math teachers on creating lesson plans.
That sounds great.
Yeah, this is a great plan. And it can also create unique food recipes. So that's recipes that are like nothing else, completely new and special and
unusual.
Unusual. And it can do that based on data about the way humans perceive different ingredients.
Ooh,
so perceive means how we sense something,
right,
how our brains process that information to say, it's spicy, it's too spicy, it's not spicy enough.
Right.
You know, it tastes good, it tastes bad, that kind of thing. And so a computer will figure out how we perceive all these tastes and create a recipe. And it'll be using the exact right amount of whatever it needs in the ingredients so that we perceive them in the perfect way.
Yeah.
Not just the individual ones, but how they balance and combine with each
other. Right. Okay.
So that's pretty smart.
That would be a nice thing to have in my own house, actually.
Yes.
And then maybe in the future, a cute little robot to make all those recipes for me.
Yeah. And of course, in time, Watson may be able to do more than we could ever imagine. So who knows what it's going to do. Okay, we'll take a short break now. We'll come back in a few moments to talk about our second Newswatch article. Okay. Okay, so our second article is about something certainly I do every day.
Right.
I don't drink coffee on my way to work, but I get one after I've had my lunch to kind of keep me awake
through the afternoon. Keep you awake through the day, right.
Yeah, I'm a tea drinker in the morning, I'm a coffee drinker in the afternoon. But I do exactly what the first sentence says, pretty much. I drink my coffee, and after drinking it, after I've done it, I will throw out that coffee cup into a recycling bin without a second thought.
Right.
So it's a takeout cup, which means it's the one I take away from the Starbucks or 7-Eleven or wherever. And yeah, I drink it and I put it in the recycling bin and I don't think about it at all. I just go, oh, it's plastic at the top, it's cardboard on the side. That can be recycled, right? Sure.
Pop it in the bin.
Into the bin it goes.
Yeah.
And it's a recycling bin. Recycling is a noun, of course, and it just means that the products can be taken away and the material from it can be recovered and used to make new things.
So, that's right.
Yeah, we don't talk about reusing it. That's slightly different.
This is recycling it.
So taking old paper and making it into new paper.
Yes, I actually just learned a little bit more about the process of recycling.
Okay.
And there are different factories involved in actually just shredding everything into the tiniest little pieces.
Yeah.
And then different machines that just take everything apart and basically put it down to its raw materials.
Yes.
So the plastic it's made from, the metal it's made from, they're all separated and they're all shipped off to different places where something else is made
into new stuff.
Right.
Right. So that's recycling. But wait a minute. Of course, coffee cups are recyclable, aren't
they? That's what I thought.
That's what I've been thinking until I had read another article about this more recently. So I was kind of aware of this thing.
This is a new one for me.
Yeah, they think the cups, people, ordinary people like you and me, think the cups are easily recyclable. No problem. Put it in the recycling bin. It'll take care of itself. But this is not actually the whole truth.
And it never is, is it?
No. So we've been unaware that we thought, hey, we're recycling. We're doing great here. We're saving the planet.
Yes.
But
not.
It's not like we are throwing them in the trash, and it's not our fault that we're not aware of this, because it's kind of been something that's sort of been
kept
a little bit of a secret.
Right. Now, let's get into some facts here. It says the UK alone, so these facts that we're about to mention are only for the UK.
Right.
It says they throw away around 2.5 billion paper coffee cups a year.
Okay.
Now, billion is a big number.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Quick note there. The UK billion is different from the North American billion.
You learn something new every day.
Well, yeah, ours is a bit bigger.
Okay, well, that is a new fact for me. I'm going to have to look that up later.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it says there are similar numbers, so similar to 2.5 billion paper cups, in other coffee-loving countries such as the U.S. and Italy.
Now, I've got to say, Italy and the U.K. are a kind of similar sort of size, but the fact that we can compete with the U.S., we drink as much coffee and throw away as many cups as the U.S.
That's a big number.
Britain's doing well there.
Yeah.
Good work, fellas. Drinking a lot of coffee.
I'm sure there's a lot of tea in those cups as well.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it's not just the U.K. and the U.S. and Italy. As someone who's traveled all over the world, it happens everywhere.
Yeah, and surprisingly, most of these coffee cups don't end up being recycled. They're not taken off to factories where all this stuff happens and reduced down. They end up going, there's a coffee cup.
Right.
We can't recycle it, so we have to get rid of it in a different way.
Now, why is this?
Well,
it says the reason for this is that in order to make the cups waterproof, the paper is fused with polyethylene, which cannot be separated out again at average recycling plants. That's quite a long sentence.
It is, yes.
Let's look at waterproof. So the cups that we're using are waterproof. That means that they're made so that water or other liquid
Coffee, tea can't
go through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you wear a pair of shoes and it's raining and then all of a sudden your socks are wet.
Oh, no.
You need some waterproof shoes.
Your shoes
aren't waterproof.
No. So they've got cardboard in them, but the cardboard itself isn't waterproof enough.
Uh-huh. Right.
It will maybe resist the coffee for a little while.
Right.
But eventually...
The cup's going to get wet.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So to stop this, they take the paper or cardboard in the cups and they fuse them with polyethylene. To fuse two things together means basically to put them, to kind of completely mix them into a single material.
Right.
So that it's kind of like taking two things and just sticking them together.
And then they're one thing.
Yeah, one is part of the other.
Right.
And polyethylene is the most common plastic in the world, okay?
Okay.
It's the stuff that's used to make plastic bottles, uh-huh. plastic bags, pretty much most plastic stuff
right.
is going to be polyethylene. Okay.
Unfortunately, with this polyethylene, it's not able to be separated out from these cups. Now, remember, we fused the cups with mm-hmm. the polyethylene, so we've made them into not two things, but one specific thing. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, with this polyethylene and the process they use, we can't separate them again mm-hmm. at average recycling plants. Now, a plant is a factory
yep.
or a place where people work with chemicals or with power or something like that. Here, it's a recycling plant. So it's where something is recycled.
Yeah, so that process you were talking about a bit earlier, this uh-huh. kind of shredding everything down into
right.
its, into the whatever materials make it, we can't do that with these cups. It's just impossible to unfuse
right.
the paper from the polyethylene. It says, so the article says, in the UK right now, there are only two plants, two factories that can do this, that can cope with coffee cups.
Ew.
Cope with means deal with or
right.
basically complete this process. Only two. Two factories, and one of which is not actually operating. One
right.
of which isn't open and the machines aren't doing anything. It's
uh-huh.
there, but it's just not in use.
So
that's only one place, one plant to do 2.5 billion paper coffee cups.
That sounds like a busy day for those plant workers.
Yeah, so obviously, well, we're saying, well, why aren't there more of
exactly.
these factories?
Yeah.
And why aren't people aware of all of this? You know,
well,
hang on, this should have been news a long time ago. We've been recycling for years, but we're not.
All right, well, that's actually unfortunate. And
it sure is.
And there's a reason for this, that we don't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
Most companies that use these coffee cups know that they aren't recyclable.
They knew.
They know.
They knew all along.
Well, they're the ones using these products to, or this polyethylene to go into their cups. So they mm-hmm. know how the cups are made, but they still advertise them as green to customers. Now, advertise means to sell a product, to get
yeah.
people to buy your product. So some companies say, oh, these products are better for the environment. You should buy these because ours are better. And
mm-hmm.
so that's what they're doing. They're telling people that they are good cups, and so they should be able to buy them without
yeah,
feeling bad.
Part of the, there's a, they can, because obviously they can't falsely
right.
advertise, but they
right.
can get around it. And you may notice that if you get one of these cups, there is a recycling symbol,
right.
but it's on the cardboard sleeve.
Okay.
It's on that little hot thing you hold
right.
to stop your hand getting hot. And so, yeah, that sleeve is completely recyclable.
Right.
But the cup inside the sleeve isn't.
Is not.
So if you look at it, you see, oh, there's the recycling symbol, all good. But in fact, it's just the sleeve,
that's
not the cup.
Sneaky.
That is how they can get around it. So
you
if anybody
what?
Asks and says, hey, yours aren't recyclable. Oh, no, we just meant the sleeves.
Right. I'm going to start looking at my coffee cups from now on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably try to buy a plastic one that I can carry with me
and
every time
it,
now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to check my cups and my sleeves to see where that little sign is.
So you might be asking yourself, well, hang on, this isn't right. This should
no.
be stopped. And so the article says one thing customers could do is boycott companies that use these cups, these
okay.
ones that aren't recyclable.
Right.
And if you boycott something or a company, you just refuse to buy its products. You say, well, if that's the truth, I'm not shopping there anymore.
Right.
I'm not going to give them my money.
Now, if a large boycott is strong enough, if as many people as possible say, no, we're not using this product anymore, we will not use these cups, that usually encourages companies to change
yeah.
because they're losing money.
We saw it a couple of years ago in Taiwan with the
exactly.
milk
exactly.
And the oil and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So it can work.
It can, yeah.
And even a big, powerful kind of coffee king of the world like Starbucks
right?
cannot afford to have people saying, we're not going to buy your coffee.
Exactly. And they are doing what they can. They're now experimenting
mm-hmm.
with truly recyclable coffee cups.
Yeah, because it had already started to happen. Some some of their stores were probably getting boycotted. Mm-hmm. There was some negative press. Because I know for a fact there was a show in the UK with a famous chef talking about this particular problem, driving around London, telling people about it.
Interesting. So, and then telling people probably which coffee cups,
companies aren't using green cups. So it has happened. You know, it's starting to happen. It's certainly happening a bit in the UK, and people are becoming more aware of it. So the coffee companies have to respond by experimenting, by trying out truly recyclable cups. Now, we're not sure here whether experimenting with means they're bringing out just normal cardboard cups and seeing if people complain that they're not waterproof.
Or maybe experimenting with different chemicals.
Exactly. I'd hope it's more like they're kind of designing and working with the factories to go, okay, let's make a coffee cup that we can recycle. Yes. How can we keep the waterproof, keep the kind of it doesn't get too hot side of things, but make it recyclable? What can we do? New materials, different ways of doing things, and so on.
Okay, well, it does say one thing customers could do. So that means that there are plenty more out there. You can buy your own cup and start using that every day.
Yes, indeed.
There's lots of things you could do, not just boycott these companies.
Raising awareness is just one of the simple things.
Exactly.
If enough people know about it, they can't kind of hide it and get away with it anymore.
It's true. Well, now that I know about it, I know what I have to do. And I mean, I don't drink that much takeout coffee anyways, but now that I know, I'm going to feel bad about it every time I do.
And you don't, and you don't use like a plastic mug or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I should probably look into getting hold of one of those myself.
Right.
Okay, we're going to take a short break just for a moment and then come back and wrap things up. Okay, so we've come to the end of our Newswatch article for today. As ever, we encourage you to talk about these two articles and the issues within them. What do you think about them? How will they affect you? What's your opinion? Mm-hmm. Use some of the English in the article to get some good practicing in.
All right, and talk with your friends about what you think is going to happen with supercomputers.
Yeah,
because
or whether you're going to change the way you buy coffee.
Yeah, and see if you can find ways to make recycling easier for other people, raise awareness. And in general, make the world a better place.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all the time we've got for now. Thanks for listening, everybody. For English Digest, I'm Pat.
And I'm Erin.
Talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.